What's up? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi. With me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
You.
What's going on, fellas?
Just finished watching the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs are unfortunately champions once again, and Patrick Mahomes walks away with his third ring. What'd you guys think of the game?
I mean, like, you want me to just cover the whole game for you?
Well, no. What's just your first thought?
My first takeaway?
Yeah.
My first takeaway is they're just so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mahomes is Thanos. He's inevitable, man. You just can't stop him. You know, you give him the ball with the game on the line, he's going to make the play. It's unbelievable.
So my first takeaway is that I actually found out that the script is real. It is legit. It's a real thing. Goodell, he gave it to everybody, and they followed along. And Deepaw, you had some interesting things to where, I mean, I won't go into it. Like, someone with the CBS network received information from the NFL that was released a week ago saying that it was the first time the NFL was going to have an overtime Super Bowl.
It was going to be the first time it was going to be a double overtime in the Super Bowl. There had been one other Super Bowl that went to overtime. It was the Falcons blowing the lead to the Patriots. But this was the first double overtime because they changed the overtime rules just this year.
Which this was the first playoff game since the overtime rules. Correct. Actually, I don't think they changed it this year.
I think it was the first time it went into effect.
Yes. So there was 26 playoff games before this actually happened, which is actually crazy. Gotcha. I felt like it happened more often than I remember. But I think it was the Patriots game that changed it because the Falcons never got the ball back.
Correct. Yeah, they just went straight down the field and scored. Yep.
Yeah. Which was no surprise to anybody.
No. Just like today or tonight, knowing if Mahomes has the ball with the chance to win, he's going to win.
It's gotten to the point where I think you've said it, Houdini, where you were just like, I don't like the Super Bowl anymore. Like, I'm not excited for it. And it's getting to the point where I don't even care anymore. Like, I sat there like in the overtime knowing what was going to happen. And I was just like, why am I even wasting my time? It's boring.
Yeah. First of all, I thought the first half was just an absolute defensive stalemate. It was like the first like three moves of chess. You know, you're just like sitting there waiting for someone to take a pawn. So I thought the first half was kind of slow, and it kind of started to heat up a little bit. Miscues early. I think McCaffrey fumbled.
And Pacheco, two fumbles. And Pacheco fumbled.
Yep. You know, so like, and both of them, I think, were in the red zone. So
I know Pacheco's was, yeah.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey's might have been right outside. And
I think it was getting there, yeah.
And that was opening drive. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was miscues early. You had the miscue on the punt. I think that was to start the second half. I could be wrong. But it wasn't a clean football game. There were some penalties, too. It wasn't a clean football game early on. And then as the game progressed, it's just a storybook. It's the longer you let the Chiefs hang around, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, you let – I feel like San Fran is just kicking themselves right now. There were so many penalties and costly penalties that they had that would have been, you know, chunk plays. It's tough to think about, well, they could have scored. You can't. It's tough to say that. But you know there's going to be that doubt in their mind when they go back and watch this tape and realize how many big plays they let up because of a penalty or a miscue. And when you're playing the Chiefs, you just can't do it. Anytime he's got the chance to have the ball late, he's going to kill you.
Last week, we were talking about what color the Gatorade was going to be. That was really the only question that mattered. Deepaw, I'm curious which one you went with.
I said red. Was it red?
It was not.
I went with Carolina blue.
It was the color that I chose because I said that I haven't seen it in a while. Purple. I should have bet money. Nice.
Riptide Rush.
Oh, kind of disappointed.
That was basically the Super Bowl logo too, wasn't it? There was a lot of purple in the logo.
Oh no, here's another conspiracy.
Maybe we're on to something.
Here's another one. It wasn't the Baltimore Ravens the whole time. They were trying to tell us what the Gatorade color was going to be. I will say one thing, and I'm wondering if you guys will agree or disagree with me on this. I thought the 49ers just blew this game. I thought they had it in the bag. I thought the Chiefs almost like gift-wrapped them the game and said, take it, and they still couldn't win. Would you agree with that? I thought that the Chiefs didn't play well at all until the end. I mean, I don't think that I thought they played well, but I don't think that they played like to as good as they should have played And I thought the 49ers just had so many opportunities to take advantage, and it was like gift wrapped in front of them, and they just didn't do it. And I don't know if that was necessarily like the 49ers as a whole, or maybe it was Purdy's fault, or, you know, whatever, maybe the play call, but I just feel like they kind of blew it.
Well, first, let's ask this question, and DePalma, I'll let you answer this because you watch a lot of football. Did Purdy answer the questions enough to be this quarterback moving forward?
I thought he did. I hate to use, you know, the game manager label, because I feel like it gets thrown around a ton, but I feel like he was a game manager in that he didn't lose the game for them. He didn't commit any turnovers. I think in the first half, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but I mean, he was completing like 80% after the first quarter, I believe. I think he was like 8 for 9 or 9 for 10 at one point. You know, missed on a couple of throws, but it was because of pressure. So he proved a lot to me, man. I've been a little bit of a Purdy hater, not kind of understanding what all the hype's about, but he showed me a little bit this year. This game.
Yeah, I do. So, Jedi, to answer your question, McCaffrey's fumble on the opening drive hurt. The punt that deflects off of – it wasn't even the guy fielding
the punt. No, yeah, it was one of the blockers, yeah. And it was a heads-up play by Ray McLeod actually seeing it hit his own guy and go for it, yeah.
Yeah, so like that play probably changed the game the most just due to the fact that the Chiefs had nothing going, and I'm pretty sure they scored on the next two plays, if not the very next play.
Yep.
You know, so I think that's kind of what got their offense going. You had the little spat between Travis Kelce and Andy Reid.
Yeah, that was weird.
On the Pacheco fumble. So they were definitely frustrated in the first half. They start rolling. And once that train gets rolling, it's really hard to defend with how smart Mahomes is with the football. So I don't want to necessarily say the Niners blew it, but like it was almost like they didn't play well enough to win, but they also didn't play well enough to lose. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. It does.
And they contained Mahomes in the first half. They did. And it wasn't until fourth quarter overtime that train started rolling. And that goes to Andy Reid, man. He started to figure out that Chiefs defense that basically had him bottled up. He threw his first pick in 7 playoff games. I think it was the third longest streak in NFL history of not throwing a pick in the postseason. So you create a turnover on a guy that never turns it over in the postseason. They're just going to shoot themselves in the foot with all those penalties they had.
Now, the first question that was asked to Patrick Mahomes after he won was, is this a dynasty? He said yes and continued to say it's the beginning of a dynasty. Are you buying that? He has 3 now. Now he's saying it's the beginning. We haven't even we're not even halfway through.
Take all of my money. I'll put it on that train for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying that. It's this team can only consistently get better. I don't know how much football Travis Kelce has left.
And I was going to say one thing too. I think he's a Hall of Famer, probably the best offensive tight end of all time. But Andy Reid, if he retires, I think that's an even bigger loss than any player would be.
I agree. But like they've won 3 of the last 4 or 3 of the last 5.
Well, yeah, I think it's 3 of 5. Yeah. Yeah.
3 of the last 5. It's a dynasty. And it's not like dynasties nowadays are not discussed as they were in the past. Like the Bulls dynasty where they ran 3 in a row, year off 3 in a row. Dynasties in this era is more like you win one, you take a year off, like the San Fran Giants. When the San Francisco Giants won one every other year, that was
not a lot of back to backs anymore. Yeah.
So, and like the Penguins, like they had a dynasty.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at in the NFL, especially who they beat to get there, it's not like they had a cupcake in there. Mm-hmm. Like they dismantled every single top team that they should have lost to.
Answered the question of can he do it on the road too?
Yeah. And then did it on the main stage against probably the best defense in the league.
Now, for the 49ers' sake of it, do you think that they get back there? Does Purdy get back?
Mm. Purdy reminds me of Alex Smith. He's a game manager. He doesn't turn the ball over often. He's not going to put up stupid numbers. But like DePalma said, he's not going to lose you a game. So in that sense, I think he's a good enough quarterback. I'm concerned about that they're just a one-man show at this point. It just seemed like Ayuk had a hard time getting going. for big yardage plays. Debo is kind of easy to sniff out. And if McCaffrey's not going off for a, I think he went for like a buck 70 total.
Yeah, he had like 80, 85 receiving yards as well. Yeah.
I just think they're one or two pieces away, and Kittle's not the same Kittle as he was 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah, and even he was something had to be going on with him that wasn't out in the media, because if you look at the last two games he put out there, maybe a couple catches, two or three, if that, less than 20 yards, like basically non-existent, and he's one of their main weapons. So you got to think, mm-hmm. maybe something's going up, that maybe he was playing through something. I think Purdy can be the guy, and I think they're going to be around for a long time. Shanahan is a brilliant offensive mind. You know, we've seen it with a bunch of his offenses, and he's got a guy that knows the quick reads and is developing the smarts to run that offense so efficiently. And when you get that, you're not just going to go away from a quarterback who knows your offense, a very complicated offense. You're not just going to run away from that. So I think they're going to roll a little bit. I think you're right, Dino. They need a better receiver, a true receiver on the outside.
And I'm also not sold on the NFC as a whole. And I think that plays into the question of, can they still get there? Because I don't think the NFC is that good.
Well, it goes up with my next question that I had for both of you was, do you think there'll be a rematch within the next like 2 years?
For sure.
Yeah.
We'll see this again in 2 years.
I think so too.
Yeah. I can see this again. But do you think taking the Niners, taking the ball first in overtime, do you think that kills the flow of this game?
I don't understand it. I would love to. I think Shanahan's going to get asked. I would love to see his response to that. That's a huge momentum thing, man. Like, knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to control your own destiny. Mahomes goes out and scores a touchdown. Well, we got to score a touchdown. At least it's in your own destiny. I just don't understand why you take it, or why you take the ball there.
Do you think it has anything to do with the defense being on the field for 6.5 minutes prior to that?
Possibly. Maybe it was, but I feel like that's just overthinking it. Like, you got to go with, in my opinion, what the odds say. You want the ball with the game on the line.
Yeah. There's just no way I'm giving Mahomes the ball.
Right. You're giving it to him last. No matter what you do, you're giving him the ball last.
And the shitty thing is let's say the Niners go down and score a touchdown and he goes down and score. I still probably go for two.
That would have been a crazy moment.
Travis Kelce. Did you see what he did and why he was trending all over all social media apps during the Super Bowl?
I hope it wasn't what Drake was trending for.
It was not. He is a scumbag. He's our latest contestant on the scumbag scale. So he basically absolutely assaulted Andy Reid. Why? Because he was getting pulled out of a play he wasn't in. And I mean, we'll obviously play the video if you see this on social media and stuff. But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
How soft? How soft can you be? Look, I know people are going to come at me for this. I don't really care. All right, Travis Kelce needs to go in a little timeout corner. He's acting like a child and immature. I get you're in the Super Bowl. You know, everything's intense and everything. But, bro, really? Like, running up to any coach or any authority figure in any situation, yelling at them, but then pushing them? That's not justifiable in any situation that you're in life. I don't care that it's the Super Bowl.
My only annoyance with it is the fact that he was screaming, "Don't take me out," when, let's just say theoretically, Pacheco breaks that for a touchdown. We're not having this conversation. Let's say theoretically Kelsey's in that play and misses a block and he fumbles. Is he still going to act like a child? Like, there's so many factors here, but Andy Reid is like, I don't even – can someone fact check this for me? How old is Andy Reid?
I'll find out for you right now. I just think that it's so self
– he's like late 60s.
He's 65.
65 years old. Even on the tap that caught Andy Reid by surprise, like, he almost tumbled.
He did, yeah.
If he fell over, I think that is
– a picture of health over here.
If he fell over – I think that this would have been like a why. I think the story would have been even bigger. Right now, it's just turning into a bunch of memes. But I just think it could be spinned as it could be spinned into so many different things. Like, one, it's you're a scumbag. Two, you're selfish because you're calling out your teammates saying that you should be playing over them. And then three, it's just like unprofessional and immature. There's more things that I'm not even saying, I'm sure, but like.
Well, hey, what about this? What about this? So I think
hothead.
I think Romo brought this up. He was throwing that temper tantrum, which I agree was a temper tantrum reminiscent of a toddler. The guy who caused the fumble was being blocked by the backup tight end who went in for Kelsey. So that's why, you know, you don't want to give him a benefit of a doubt on it, but that's why he was pissed. I didn't see that he mouthed, "Don't take me out." Maybe there was a specific reason for it, but the guy who went in to replace him missed the block, and the guy he was supposed to block caused the fumble.
That's why he was mad, but...
But you, yeah, you don't bump, yeah, right. You don't bump your coach like that, though.
Right. It's on the main stage. It's not like this game is against the fucking Commanders on CBS at 4 o'clock and no one's watching. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not as scumbag as Pedro throwing Don Zimmer, but it's up there.
Now, did you see what Antonio Brown had to say about it?
I don't give a shit
He said, "If this was me, I would have been kicked out of the NFL."
No. And that's where he's wrong. He's already kicked out of the NFL. So it wouldn't have been him. The dude, like, honestly, in my lifetime, I've seen two people legitimately lose their shit. Kanye, Antonio Brown.
And AB. Yeah. Hell of a receiver, though, man.
Hell of a receiver. Hell of a football player. But, like, gets in a fight with, like, a UPS driver, is, like, God, dude, his Twitter's almost as good as Trump. Like, dude, it's just nuts, dude. It's nuts. The guy's nuts.
Final thoughts on the Super Bowl. Give me a score 1 to 10 on the Super Bowl halftime show.
An 8.7. I loved it. I love seeing Usher dance, sing, take his shirt off. Alicia Keys, absolute baddie. Usher takes his shirt off, absolute baddie. Like, I had a Ludacris coming out. Little John, who made billions of dollars just saying, yeah. Like, I don't know, man. If you grew up in my era, you would have thought it was dope.
I missed it, so I'm going to have to watch a video later. But I was hyped to see Usher, so we'll see.
This is like, it's probably like it's like a 5.7 for me. Like, yeah.
Oof.
It wasn't good. Look, he had the opportunity to make this a top 5 Super Bowl halftime show, but he decided not to by not bringing out Justin Bieber. And...
Bieber was unavailable. He was at the NHL All-Star Weekend.
He was at the game.
Was he?
Yes. He was sitting in the stands and everybody was waving at him with Hailey Bieber. And the kid Leroy was there and Tate McRae. All the people that were at the NHL All-Star game.
Also a baddie. But like, why isn't the Biebs on the stage then? It makes no sense to me.
If Bieber was on the stage and they came out and sang some of like those original OG Bieber songs that Usher helped him create and like at his record label and stuff, it would have been like a top 5 performance all time for a halftime show.
Okay. I buy that. I agree with that. I thought Biebs was going to come on stage at some point. Now, my final thought on the game is the commercials.
So bad.
Oh my God.
So bad.
Oh my God.
Nothing to work with.
Dude.
Nothing was funny.
No.
Not only was nothing funny, I didn't get a trailer for anything. I got nothing. I got the Deadpool trailer that literally was like full trailer online. Like, no shit.
Trailer of a trailer.
Yeah. I was really disappointed. Really, really disappointed. And they're just getting worse. Getting worse. Can't even tell you one company that did an advertisement. But final question. How much do you think State Farm paid for the State Farm halftime show?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Arnold commercial.
Oh, no. That one was kind of funny. But no. Like, how much? Because it's always been like the Pepsi halftime show.
So 500 million.
You think so? Yeah.
500 million, you said?
Isn't it for like a 30-second commercial, like 100 million?
No, a 30-second commercial is like...
It's 12, like 3 million.
No, it's like 12.
12 for 30 seconds? Probably 250.
Okay, I'm going to go on record. If State Farm paid $500 million, half a billion dollars to have their name on the halftime show, that's probably the worst investment of all time.
I rescind my original guess, 250. I'm going 250.
I still think that's a horrible investment. I didn't even know that it was State Farm. I still thought it was Pepsi. Like, that's how bad of an investment it was. And I watched the halftime show.
I think it's like 100. My final question. Is Mahomes on his way to beating Brady?
100%. Maybe on his way, but like I think last week you said that he's like on his heels. I still don't think it because Brady still has 7 and he doesn't. He's
not even halfway there. Right. He's got to continue this trajectory. But
like if he had 5,
it's a hell of a trajectory to be on with somebody so great. Dude, I mean, we didn't talk about it that much. He had 9 rushes for 66 yards, like most of that being at the end of the game. He said, "Get on my back. We're not losing the Super Bowl." That's GOAT stuff right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's coming for the heels kind of quick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like you can't ask. Brady is basically incomparable, but he's the closest to Brady we've ever seen.
But I don't think you could be at somebody's heels when you're not even halfway there yet. If he had like 5, I'd be like, yeah, but he's only at 3. And I understand how young he is. I get it. But
well, if you're saying right now, then no.
Tomorrow he could get hurt.
Career-wise, yes. He's going there.
Yeah, but like when I'm just saying the nipping on the heels part, like I don't buy that because he's not even halfway there. He could get hurt tomorrow. The Chiefs could be horrible for the next 5 years.
Yes, no, I understand that. But if you look at time in the league compared to Brady, his first 7 years to Mahomes' first 7 years, Mahomes is way ahead of him. Brady didn't start winning until like that middle frame towards the end of his time in New England.
And if Mahomes, he didn't have the defense early in his career. If he gets defenses like this for like a couple of these runs that he's going to have, he's going to keep winning Super Bowls. That was a legit defense. They had 2 all-pro corners.
So the award show for the NFL just happened, and DeMar Hamlin did not win Comeback Player of the Year. It went to Joe Flacco instead, and fans have been ruthless online, and it's been a very big split. There have been people that say, bro, this dude literally died and came back to life. And then there's people that are saying Joe Flacco deserves it because he literally actually helped the team, and DeMar Hamlin just kind of came back and for a surprise said, hey, and then didn't do anything. So I'm curious what side you guys are on.
Yeah, what side are you on, Dino?
I mean, I thought we were going to wrap this up. shit. So, in my opinion, it didn't matter how many snaps he played, how many tackles he had. If he stepped on the field, even if it was for a kneel down and the other team winning, he should win Comeback Player of the Year. Now, where people are going to argue is the fact that Flacco contributed. And while I understand that, and then you even have Tua coming back from concussions, I understand that as well. Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Baker.
Baker right? Mayfield.
So, Baker, Tua, and Flacco, all 3 quarterbacks. And then you have Hamlin. Let's analyze what they each came back from. Baker being cut and thrown around the league. Flacco being unemployed because he sucked. Tua, concussions, Hamlin, death, literally died on the field, on national television. They canceled a game that had playoff implications. There's no way it should be, and the fucking trophy should be named DeMar Hamlin, Comeback Player of the Year.
I don't disagree with what you said, but the one thing you said about Flacco kind of plays in this favor, though, too, was he was unemployed. I know he wasn't dead, but he was sitting on the couch, you know, eating pork rinds right. And drinking beer. And to get thrown into a title race and then actually succeed, put up some of the craziest numbers we've seen from somebody doing that. I'm in the Flacco deserves it because he contributed more to the game. But I agree that it should be named the DeMar Hamlin Comeback Player of the Year Award, or they come up with another award for an injury or death, Lazarus Dude, effect.
Okay,
that's literally in my notes. I said the same thing. Something. I think Flacco deserves it because he actually contributed to something. Yep. He had determined, overcame obstacles and inspiration. I know that DeMar Hamlin did the same thing, but when I think of comeback of the player, I think of, you know, on the field, like helping your team. Like DeMar Hamlin didn't necessarily help his team win, but he does deserve a other award. Yes. That's like the inspiration award.
Yes. Lazarus, DeMar
Hamlin. Yeah. Like award. They all, and the player that inspired us this year, DeMar Hamlin.
No, that's a participation trophy. It's not comeback impact player of the year.
But that's the way I view it, is what I'm saying.
So like then so then it should be comeback impact player of the year is the award, and then comeback player of the year is for shit like this. Google, but if you have the Lazarus Award, right? Let's just say we call it that. He's the only one in the history of sports that would have won that award. There's only two people I know that have ever died and came back. Him and Jesus.
Lazarus, too.
Whatever. Three. I'm just saying, like, how does this look?
So, Jedi, you have your computer. Google what the criteria for that award is, because I looked it up earlier. It's so ambiguous. Yes, it's ambiguous. So it doesn't clearly define what it is. So that's the issue.
I understand, but he played 16 snaps. He had two solo tackles. I understand that, but he had a solo tackle after
dying. Yeah.
Dying, trying to make a solo tackle. The mind state that you have to, mental state that you have to be in to even have balls to do that is amazing. But he had more first place votes than Flacco. Flacco won the award based on he had more second and third
place votes. Oh, really?
Yes, that's why it's bullshit. The guy died.
Well, it says here shows overcoming adversity.
Death.
I know. It's very ambiguous.
A player who overcomes the worst adversity to return to play, even for a single snap in the NFL.
Read that again.
Oh, that's read bad. That again. I didn't read that line.
Read that again.
Now, it is Wikipedia, so, you know, some people change it. Wikipedia's changed. It has the edit option.
Yeah. You can't look at Wikipedia. We don't know.
But if we were in a court of law and you read that, I would stand up and walk out. Be like, my client is guilty.
Dude, I would sink in my chair.
if me and Deepal were your lawyers, we'd be like, yeah, he just lost this case.
Just get out now, bro.
Holy shit.
Well, that's all we have today on Hot Shots. We'll be back at it talking about some baseball and basketball news. But until then, follow us on all socials at Hot Shots Podcast. Talk to you next time.